Hey, everybody. Welcome to a special edition of the GeekWire podcast. I'm GeekWire editor Todd Bishop.
I'm GeekWire co-founder John Cook.
And we're pleased to bring back to the podcast GeekWire chairman Jonathan Spisato. It's great to have you here, Jonathan.
Hey, it's great to be here.
All right. So we are going to be sharing with you today highlights from the 2019 GeekWire Awards. Some people out there may not be familiar with what this awards program is about. We just had this last night at MoPop in Seattle. You two have been involved in this for years. What's this all about?
This is the biggest celebration of technology in the Pacific Northwest. Over 1,000 people were registered, and we celebrate awards such as Next Tech Titan, Startup of the Year, Geekiest Office Space, Young Entrepreneur of the Year, and we have a lot of fun along the way.
Yeah, and we've been doing this for about, was this the 8th year?
I think this was the 11th. Well, it's actually the 11th, but GeekWire is 8 years old. So a little bit of math there, but it was started as the Seattle 2.0 Awards by Marcello Calbucci, and then we took that over about 8 years ago.
And Jonathan, this is actually, I believe, the first time I ever met you. You were keynoting the Seattle 2.0 Awards back in the day.
That's right.
And I remember you pulled out some kind of launch manual.
Yes, that's right. Yes, my gimmick, my parlor trick. I've got a few of them in my bag. Yeah, that was a really fun keynote. And thanks for bringing up that memory. I still have very fond memories of how this is really about the community coming together and celebrating each other, patting each other on the back a little bit for our successes. And to answer your question, that was an astronaut NASA flight manual. So you can launch the space shuttle if you go through that.
Right. And I believe that was sort of your startup analogy at the time.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Yep.
All right.
Yep.
So we started this year with something completely different, which was a comedy roast. Tell us the backstory on this one, John.
Yeah, this is Socially Inept and Jesse Warren. We thought it'd be fun to have a comedian at the GeekWire Awards. Why not? And I thought he did a great job. Roasted many of our finalists, Matt Oppenheimer, Raj Singh,
you,
myself. Yes, everyone was a target, but I thought Jesse did a great job in a very lighthearted and fun way.
Nice. So let's hear a couple highlights from that.
Let's talk about some of our awesome nominees tonight. We have Next Tech Titan nominee Stay Alfred. Next Tech Titan nominee Stay Alfred. The first company based out of Spokane, Washington to be nominated for literally anything ever. In 2018, Stay Alfred actually raised $47 million in funding. Though what investors did not realize at the time is that for $47 million, they could have just bought Spokane, Washington. Deal of the Year is a very exciting category, Deal of the Year. This year's two front runners are Jeff Bezos for his original deal with the devil, and Arby's for their 5 for $5 deal with the devil. It might get a little awkward tonight when Aptio and Heptio realize they wore the same name. Thankfully, there is a startup here tonight that helps companies write more creatively. Aptio, Heptio, you should speak to Textio. Textio is making a big splash, advising tech companies not to start all their recruitment material with the word bro. It's a wild idea, Textio. I just don't know if we're ready.
All right, so that was really fun. So once again, that is
Jesse Warren of Socially Inept, and you can go to sociallyinept.io. You can see their schedule of upcoming comedy roasts, and he will personally come out to your tech company and roast your CEO or CTO if you want him to. And I thought it was fun. I especially like that Spokane joke.
Yeah, exactly. And it was actually kind of cool because Stay Alfred, let's talk about them just briefly.
Yeah, that was a great story.
So Stay Alfred is a company that's based in Spokane, and they got on a party bus to come out here. It's a very Spokane thing to do in
what
my
mind.
What was
it? They got on at 10 a.m. on Wednesday and with 4 cases of beer and made it into Seattle.
Yeah. And from what I understand, they had to stop at one point so that their CEO or somebody, one of the higher-up executives, could do an investor call on the bus. Everybody got off the bus, he did the call, and then they got back on.
Yeah, but this is a cool company. Yeah, they were up for Next Tech Titan, just raised $47 million in funding out of Spokane. They are trying to transform the hospitality business with a new way, kind of like a Airbnb, but taking over existing apartment complexes and then renting those out to short-term rentals. So it's a cool idea and they're doing great. former Airborne Ranger, as the CEO and a U.S. Army captain. And so good to see a veteran in the mix on, at the GeekWire Awards as well.
Yeah, that's really cool. So they did not win Next Tech
Titan. They did not win, though.
Yes.
Sorry, yes. Say Alfred.
So, but I will say, I was surprised they took those jokes in stride.
Oh, they were dying. I was keeping an eye on them. And Tom Simpson, the venture capitalist, who's an investor in Stay Alfred, who I've known for years, I was watching him. And they were just dying laughing, all clad in their blue flannel shirts that they were easy to spot at the awards.
That's good, because I was worried. I was a little worried that they might not take those jokes.
Oh, really?
Too kindly.
No, that was all in good fun. In fact, we just wrote a story about it, and they were just ecstatic about their experience at the awards.
So Next Tech Titan, the first category that we're going to discuss, is essentially representing the company that could be the next big giant of the region.
That's correct. And it was won by Rover.
Yes.
Which was started at a startup weekend event by venture capitalist Greg Gottesman, now run by Aaron Easterly, the CEO. And really a perennial powerhouse here at the GeekWire Awards. I mean, they have won Young Entrepreneur of the Year. They have won...
didn't they win Startup of the Year?
I think Startup of the Year. Right. So they're kind of cleaning up. I think I was joking with Aaron Easterly, the CEO, beforehand. He said, well, if we win, what else is left? And I said, well, you can still win Deal of the Year next year, IPOs or acquisitions, if you get acquired or go public, which I think they're on the IPO track, don't you, Jonathan?
I do think that they're on the IPO track.
I don't think they're going to sell.
I think
they're gobbling up their competitors.
That's right. That's right. And I think that they've really figured out. I think that somebody made a funny joke about this on stage from another category, but they really have figured out a way that they could effectively double their total addressable market by also servicing cat owners in addition
yes.
to dog owners. So
that
I thought that was very clever.
That news just came out. The funny thing about Rover was when they were started, a lot of people just thought, oh, it's a venture capitalist with a little pet project, pun intended. And they were not taken seriously for the first, 3 or 4 years of their existence. And then they started just hitting it out of the park. I mean, it is one of Seattle's biggest consumer tech success stories.
That's right. And I actually have a funny story at the very, very origin moment. I remember I was a judge at the startup weekend.
Really?
When that team...
I was there reporting on it.
Right. Yeah. So
I didn't know you were there. I forgot.
Yeah, so I was a judge.
I did not know that.
Yeah. So this was what happened. Yeah. And I think there's some statute of limitations. I think I can talk about this. So I was a judge. Matt McElwain was a judge. Rob Glazer was a judge. And there
the
might
CEO
have been a fourth.
Of Real Networks.
That's right. That's
Matt
right.
McElwain is a partner at
right.
the Drone Venture Group.
So of all the pitches, and there were some very fantastic pitches. The team that came up with the concept that would become Rover, Greg Gottesman, just such not only a talented VC, but decided to embed himself. I think he was the first VC to show up as an attendee at a startup
to
weekend.
Actually participate.
To participate.
And build a company.
Yes. Exactly.
Yep.
So anyway, so they have this amazing pitch. And so in the back room as judges, as we were deciding who should win, Matt McElwain, he's a person of integrity. He's like, well, should that team be disqualified because Greg is a VC and he's at Madrona and I'm at Madrona? And I actually was a huge advocate of, a great idea is a great idea. So they should win. And so they won and they got some prize money, some seed money of sorts. And do you remember that, John?
Yeah. In fact, I have the photo of them all kind of sitting there with their paws out, their hands out as they were winning that award. So a great, great startup history and great startup story. And they were our Next Tech Titan winner.
Nice. All right. So let's move on to the next category in the GeekWire Awards. This week, we're running down all of the highlights from the GeekWire Awards, and we'll play some clips later on. Next up was AI Innovation of the Year. This was a new category. We split out the Innovation of the Year category into two, AI and health. And the winner of this one was Textio, which was fascinating in part because Textio has kind of been the Sally Field of the GeekWire Awards. They've been nominated, were they three
Startup
times?
Startup of the Year, I think.
CEO of the Year in the past. And in fact, Kieran Snyder, the CEO of Textio, alluded to that fact in her acceptance speech on stage at the GeekWire Awards.
It's funny that we win AI Innovation of the Year because our mission is to make people the best version of themselves. When we started the company, it was with the notion that you didn't have to choose between doing good and doing really, really well. So we are so excited to be here. This is the first year we've won. John congratulated me because we've lost three times before. So thank you, everybody.
All right. So other finalists in that category were HighSpot, Mighty AI, Olus Robotics, and Exnor. And that's an interesting category to watch, AI Innovation of the Year going forward, because Seattle tends to be, because of its cloud prowess, its computer science background, tends to be a hotbed for artificial intelligence. And I think that's going to be one where I think the next tech titans will emerge out of that category. That's
you don't
bet.
Think this is overhyped? Because that was I got some feedback from folks
maybe.
That the fact that there is an AI Innovation of the Year award means we might be overhyped.
Possibly. But artificial intelligence is so important to everything that's going to be happening over the next 5, 10, 15 years. At least that's my belief.
I agree with Todd. I think that a lot of these things, when they're still sort of nascent and developing, it's important to sort of carve them out as a separate category because we can't predict how big or small it's going to be. So I think for us to err on the side of just shining a little bit more of a spotlight on that, I think that's totally good.
It's not just big data then.
What do you mean?
Well, isn't – that's what I'm getting at. Isn't there like this buzz around it was big data and then now it's kind of AI?
Yeah, actually you forgot something in the middle, IoT.
Yeah, right. So I don't know. Yeah. I'm just kind of being devil's advocate a bit on that, but
hey, wasn't this your idea?
It was my idea. Yes. That's true.
All right, next up, Big Tech CEO of the Year. The finalists here were Mike Metzger of PayScale, Matt Oppenheimer of Remitly, Eugenio Pace of Auth0, Raj Singh of Accolade, and the person who won this one was Jesse Woolley Wilson of Dreambox Learning, which is an education technology company. Jesse gave a fantastic talk at the GeekWire Summit last year. They actually had a big acquisition, big investment last year that they went through, and this company is really a fascinating one to watch. So let's hear what her comments were.
We're so honored to be here today. We really come into work every day believing that every child has a spark and that it's our job to leverage technology to unleash their learning potential so we can help them unleash their human potential. And none of this would happen without the amazing, talented people you see on the stage. So thank you very much. Unlocking learning potential.
I talked with Jesse after the awards, and it was really interesting because this was an individual award category, Big Tech CEO of the Year. But you could tell that she was most enthused by the fact that her team was excited about it. This was a real team building exercise for them. And she's somebody who's really fascinating and has a lot of great insights into this whole overall world of AI and education and learning and making sure that students can use technology and have equal access to it to be able to essentially learn as much as they possibly can and advance as far as they can. And then our next category was Geeks Give Back. This was one where we basically threw out the model of voting and had our judges name this category winner, the WTIA's Apprentee Program. This is a fascinating program that was started in Seattle and has actually gone on to other states. And it's providing free training focused on people of color, women, and military veterans who are eager to break into the tech industry. And the interesting stat, and I think the thing that really caught my attention, is that participants are more than doubling their incomes on average following graduation from the 18-month program. It's essentially a tech apprenticeship program. So that's from the WTIA, and they were the winners of our Geeks Give Back Award this year. Okay, we are doing a roundup this week of the 2019 GeekWire Awards, and we'll be right back with more highlights.
I wanted a career in IT, but I didn't know where to start. WGU makes it simple. Their accredited online degree programs cover all kinds of IT specialties, and they have valuable industry certifications built in at no extra cost. The payoff? Having those certs back up my degree makes me look even better to future employers. A nonprofit university that includes top industry certs in their programs? I choose WGU. Learn more at wgu.edu/IT certs included.
All right, next up, we had two versions of the Deal of the Year category. Do you want to explain this one, John?
Yeah, there's a lot of activity going on. So we split Deal of the Year into M&A and IPOs and also funding deals. So we had so much going on, we split it into two parts.
And you commented on this during the event, this was an unusually strong category this year, overall deal of the year, which is the reason that we ended up splitting it up.
Right. I mean, we had a lot of IPOs, DocuSign, Smartsheet. We had Apptio get acquired. Heptio got acquired. So there's been a lot of activity on the acquisition and IPO front, which led to this category. And the winner was
DocuSign. DocuSign. DocuSign was in the category of
IPOs and acquisitions.
Yeah. Yes. So this was one of my favorite moments of the event because DocuSign is a company that was founded in Seattle but is no longer headquartered here. And so for that reason, the comments by Tom Casey, the Senior Vice President of Engineering, who accepted the award, they really resonated with me. So let's play those here.
When things are going well, it's important you stay grounded. A lot of times you do that by returning home. It's easy for us. A lot of people don't realize DocuSign was not only founded here in 2003, but this is our home. Our headquarters is in the Bay Area. This is our largest office, our largest of 13 offices. We are proud members of the Seattle and Northwest startup community. We are pleased to be a part of this community. It's a privilege to be with you. We intend to support and help this community for a long time to come.
All right, so that was the first category, IPO, deal of the year. And then the second category for deal of the year was for financings. The finalists there were 98.6, Convoy, Jet Closing, Vices, and Zipwhip. And the winner was Convoy.
So, yeah, a little slip up behind the scenes. We kind of pre-announced that one to the crowd.
Oh my gosh, do you really want
to
get into this?
Yeah, why not? But the reason I bring it up is because I think everybody in the audience knew that Convoy was going to win this one.
Let's explain what happened first before you ask that. Because so what happened was, did the slides get out of order?
They're just a wrong button was pushed. And it announced the winner before we went through the finalists, and it announced Convoy. And there was some laughter, but yes, we had a little blip. But I do think everybody thought, I mean, Convoy is growing very fast. They just raised a massive round of funding at
$185 million.
Of $1 billion valuation. So with Bill Gates and Jeff Bezos and I mean, like, everybody in their, you know, everybody's involved in this deal.
A lot of brand names.
And they're hiring like mad and growing like gangbusters. And so this is a very hot company. They've won Startup of the Year. They've won Next Tech Titan. And it wasn't a big surprise they won this category, frankly.
And it's on-demand trucking. So basically like the Uber of trucking, where they're matching people who have things to ship with shipping companies and truck drivers that have capacity to do it. So.
Yeah, and I think it's important to say that, you know, these guys are really, really humble, that despite their successes, that they've remained really grounded. And just culturally, I like what's happening. I know that they very much, despite the fact that they're trucking, they actually support a great deal of a gender balance on their executive team. And I know they've worked really, really hard at that. Grant and Dan are big believers in unlocking the value of greater diversity and inclusion on their team. So in that broader thing, when we think about the Seattle tech ecosystem and what kind of defines us culturally as being different from, say, the Bay Area, that's one of the things is that as the rest of the world is getting a little bit of a bad name that's associated with their successes, companies like Convoy and also a lot of the other ones that we acknowledged here in this category remain really grounded, down-to-earth people, and that's super admirable.
It's funny you should say that because Grant Goodale's comments, the CTO of Convoy, really struck me along those lines. So let's listen to what he had to say.
If you think there's a challenge about raising a big round or building a really big, impactful company in Seattle, I've got a whole bunch of counterexamples for you right now. Seattle is on the startup map, and we're super proud to be part of it. Thank you, everybody, and go build something big.
All right, so that was Grant Goodale from Convoy, the CTO there, and they were the winners of Deal of the Year for financing at a valuation of more than $1 billion. So they're one of the unicorns.
Yeah, and followed the trend of what's the deal with every winner bringing up like everyone at their company who's at the event.
Well, I think
once one company does, then it's everyone like, does. If I was getting worried that that stage was going to collapse at one point. So
well, I think that's a good trend. I know. I do worry.
It does slow down the program a little bit. Yeah. You got like 45 people on this small stage.
It does, but it also means that there's a little more hooting and hollering. You know, they're bringing more of their that team
cool.
spirit to the event.
Well,
and
which
I think that's good.
Which is true. I mean, that is fun. Even, you know, as you go through the nominations, people are really getting into it. And I thought the energy level was super high this year with people just really cheering loudly when their names were called.
So if I was to ask, if we had an unofficial category that we can make up in real time right now. Who wins most number of people?
Well, I was thinking about this. I was thinking we should just have an applause-o-meter. Then it would get really rowdy in there.
Yeah.
But if applause line, like you guys were there listening, applause, like who do you think had the loudest group of people? Because there was one that stood out to me.
Two stood out to me.
I thought Stay Alfred, probably.
Stay Alfred was loud and whooping it up.
And Parody was up there.
Was it? Okay, that one wasn't.
Yeah.
There was, remember Rubica, the cybersecurity company?
Ah.
They were super loud in Startup of the Year.
True.
They had like 45 or 50 people there. So
that's right, good one.
Yeah, Rover also had a...
Yeah, Rover did have a...
They were barking all the way.
That's right.
Yeah.
And here's the thing on bringing the team up to the stage. Are you going to be the jerk CEO who doesn't bring the team up?
And then not thank the team.
Yes, exactly.
It's all about me, baby. It's all about me. My moment.
All right. Well, hey, speaking of Startup of the Year, the finalists in that category were Amperity, Boundless, The Riveter, Rubica, and Sauna Biotechnology. And the winner was The Riveter, which is the women-oriented co-working space run by Amy Nelson. And they are doing a huge expansion across the country. They started here in Seattle. And it's not exclusive to women, but it is definitely oriented toward women.
So we'll go behind the scenes a little bit when we met with our judging panel here to talk a little bit about the backstory. Because I don't know if you remember, Todd, during the judging session, there was a debate on whether the Riveter should actually be included as a tech company or not.
Right.
And we did have this discussion and debate. And the one, I can't remember which judge it was, but somebody made a very good point. They said, if we were in New York right now, we would be recognizing WeWork as a very fast-growing component of the tech ecosystem. And you can make parallels between the Riveter and
absolutely
WeWork.
True. WeWork gets and written so, up a lot in
and
tech
so there was
press.
Logic there, I think, to include them. And then they come in and they clean up.
And
they were newcomer of the year. We used to have an award called Newcomer of the Year. We didn't do that this year. We mix up the awards from time to time. And they won that, I think, two years ago.
That's right.
Shortly after they had launched.
Yep. And Amy Nelson was on the GeekWire podcast last year, the one that we did from the Ballard neighborhood. So if you want to hear more from Amy, that's a good chance to go back and hear more about the philosophy behind this startup. Tech, not a tech startup necessarily, but one that's certainly entrepreneurial in its ambitions. So,
and that's part of the awards too. So the awards are truly just about entrepreneurship, and that's a big component of it. And so you see various categories that we have added. And in the case of Young Entrepreneur of the Year, the winners there, Ty Collins and Mike Radenbaugh, were the creators, owners of Rad Power Bike, so an electric bike maker. That won that category, which was a fun one.
That's right. And the other finalists there were Brian Beauchet of Slope, Tony Huan of Possible Finance, Mitra Raman of Buttermilk, and Yifan Zhang of Loftium. So it was actually, sometimes it's not easy to find a really strong finalist lineup for Young Entrepreneur of the Year because these are entrepreneurs below the age of
30 or younger.
Yeah.
And yes. And it was interesting with Rad. They have a great entrepreneurial story. The two founders, Ty Collins and Mike Radenbaugh, are childhood friends and grade school buddies.
Yeah. And
which was kind of cool.
They were saying last night they met in preschool.
Right. Yes.
That's
Jonathan
amazing.
And I were talking about that, on the sidelines.
Cool. That is cool. Amazing. I mean, how many people get to actually go down some entrepreneurial path and have a great company, startup company with their preschool buddy? That I think it's really great. And John, picking up on a point about how really GeekWire, we celebrate entrepreneurship, even if it means that some companies aren't, you know, tech companies at their core. I do think that if great entrepreneurship and building great businesses is sometimes a function of a bit of alchemy, where you have a couple of different elements that usually aren't paired together and they come to, you know, the atoms kind of collide and they explode into something really wonderful. I think it's really great that someone who is running an e-bike company gets to hobnob and network with someone who is doing something like the Riveter, right? And trying to figure out revenue per square foot. And the other person is trying to figure out unit economics and COGS. And so I think it's just great that all of these different atoms are kind of colliding in one space.
And it does speak to the diversity of the tech ecosystem, I mean, or the entrepreneurial ecosystem in the Northwest, where you do span a lot of different industries. I mean, you saw that represented at the awards this year, everything from health tech to AI, drones, e-bikes. It was a really diverse set of companies. Mm-hmm.
And I would actually argue that electric bikes are technology.
I think there is an argument there, definitely. Yeah.
Okay, we are doing a roundup this week of the 2019 GeekWire Awards, and we'll be right back with more highlights. Another new category this year was Health Innovation of the Year. The finalists there were Athera Pharma, Cyrus Biotechnology, Kensai, Kineta, and the winner was 98.6, which is essentially a doctor on your phone. And Robbie Cape, the CEO of 98.6, was actually a guest on the first episode of the current season of our health tech podcast. So if you're interested in that, he does a great job telling their story.
Yeah, and a great serial entrepreneur with a great background. And I actually asked him after the awards what the differences were between his previous company, Cozy, which was kind of like a calendaring app mm-hmm. of sorts, and what he's trying to do now at 98.6. And he had some just really interesting comments to say about the market opportunity and what he's trying to solve right now. It's limitless. It's trillions and trillions of dollars if they can truly make an impact in healthcare versus his original company. But then he was also talking about the fact that there were some real battle scars that he picked up in starting Cozy, that now he's using those lessons to apply as he builds 98.6, which is growing very, very rapidly and has raised a lot of money.
Jonathan, the next category is one that's near and dear to your heart. In fact, you presented this award, Geekiest Office Space. And geekiest kind of means coolest in our lingo, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that represents the culture of the organization. And it's not just a cool space.
Mm-hmm. So, Jonathan, you have a deep philosophy about this that is not represented in the GeekWire offices.
<That's> or it may be, depending on your point of view, right? All those bobbleheads don't say something about us. It really is true. I mean, I'm a big believer having of done without and having of done with, and there's only one path, in my opinion. How you design a space, how well you field the employees, and even kind of embodying some of the values of your brand and company and exuding that in some sort of explicit way really makes a difference in terms of the way that people work and how much they enjoy coming to work. You know, companies that I've had the pleasure of doing that with, like PicMonkey or Picnic, less so here, but you know, hey, if you give me another shot at it, they just people.
We've done enough renovation
yeah,
over here.
That's right.
Take it up with the office beautification committee.
Yeah, I know.
I was excluded from. I want to make a formal complaint.
Is that? Yeah, I was wondering about that. Yeah,
I think it was a smart move by the company to exclude me from that.
Right. Every single company that was nominated in this category just had really, really great offices and tend to, you know, the rule of thumb they want you to subscribe to is that once you're of a certain revenue level, you know, you should spend somewhere between like 5 to 10% on stuff like this, you know, on your build out and your design,
really?
Getting really cool stuff. Yeah.
5 to 10%.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Crazy. That's too much.
Yeah.
Too much.
No. Okay. All right. Well, clearly we're not spending enough. So some of these companies, Tableau was the winner, and I think that you've all been there. It is absolutely gorgeous.
It's amazing space. Yeah.
Yeah.
To your point, it really represents their brand. I think they were saying that they had three things that it represented, and I'm not going to remember what they were off the top of my head.
Well, I was talking to the designer actually after the awards, and she was saying how she infused the personalities of their executives into the office space. And so Elisa Fink, the former chief marketing officer at Tableau, she's the color and pop of the offices. Chris Stolte, the co-founder, and I think he was chief product officer. He might still be there. I can't recall on that one. But he was the organic material that you see in the office because it was
very pervasive.
This real bedrock, you know, component of the organization. So it was really interesting talking about how they use the executive team to inform the choices on the offices. Mm-hmm. But the most important thing on this one was, Todd, I think this is the trophy that you broke before the awards
ceremony.
Are
you really going to bring this up?
Yes.
By the way, let's not give short shrift to the finalists. We'll get to the
incident. We don't have to revisit that.
EA Games, PopCap. EA Games is home to PopCap. Event Core, Textio and Zillow Group. Yes, I did break the Geekiest Office Space.
How did you
award.
Break it? I found out after the fact.
It was a comedy of errors. I had told people to put a covering over the awards so we could hide them from the attendees coming in, so no one would go there and peek and find out the winners. Mm-hmm.
Good idea.
And it was a good idea. And we've done it in the past, but we had the awards upright. And so when they, Todd, what happened? You bumped into the table.
I bumped into the table and one fell. And then later on, well, we two others also broke. And we had to do this kind of round robin. We're going to be getting actual new ones for the people who had their awards broken by these weird mishaps. So I said to Monica Nicholsberg on our team afterward, I said, you know, every once in a while, I'll do something where if I wasn't one of the owners of the company, I'd get fired. And this was one of them. And she said to me, I was just joking, obviously. She said to me, you'd really fire me if I broke an award? And now, I said, no.
It wasn't as bad as the gala 2 or 3 years ago where my good pal, I won't throw him under the bus by name, but he works at the University of Washington in the communications team, walked over to the bar area.
What?
And do you remember this?
No.
And there was like no one else over there. He walked over to the bar and like the entire bar collapsed.
No.
Yes, there was like massive amounts of alcohol and beer spilled all over the place.
What did he do?
He just like touched something and it was very fresh. The whole thing like fell apart. No, actually, I don't even think he touched anything. I think it was just the bartender was messing something around and he was the closest person over there. So he got blamed for destroying a bar.
Yeah.
So that would be worse if you knocked out a bar.
Yes.
At the event versus a trophy.
Well, and just last thing here, this was my coping mechanism last night. I was thinking, you know, it could have been worse. It could have been on stage that I broke it because, you know, there was
It
could have been every trophy. It was only
could have been every trophy in the bar. It could have been a lot worse.
There was one year at this event with the two of you where I was bounding up the stairs and I caught a toe on the step at Mopop. Then it was EMP at Mopop and I almost did a header off the stage. And so in my mind, like I just, that's the way I cope is like, it could be worse.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I love that it's all sort of, you know, there are some happy accidents and that we're not really slick and smooth. I think that's what makes it kind of fun to watch is you don't really know.
Well, then there was the accident when somebody popped the champagne bottle live on stage we got, you know, in trouble by
Mopop. Oh, I know. Do you remember who that was?
I think it was BitTitan.
Yeah.
Because I have the photo and we've published this photo on GeekWire since and I actually can see the cork popping out. I was like, wow, that was a really great moment. And now we can never have champagne again on the GeekWire Awards.
That's right. All right. Well, hey, congrats to Tableau. They've got great office spaces and they were the winners of the Geekiest Office Space of the Year. This is a big program we're working through here.
Are we going through every award?
Let's just talk about a couple more of the highlights. All Hardware right. Gadget of the Year. That was won by somebody who I don't think really expected to win, Bardy Diagnostics. So another healthcare gadget.
Yeah, a lot of healthcare.
Yeah, they're looking to change the way medical professionals monitor heart conditions with a non-invasive cardiac monitor patch.
Yeah.
You know, healthcare is really one of the bedrocks of this community that sometimes gets overlooked. You've got the Fred Hutch, you've got the University of Washington, you've got all that coming together. And don't forget the place where Amazon calls home right now was supposed to be a big biotech hub. To some extent it is, but that's really a big part of what Seattle's heritage has been. So we actually are on to our last category, Startup CEO of the Year. This was a fun one. And obviously this is kind of like, I think of this like the best actor or actress category of the Oscars, if it was the Oscars. And Startup of the Year might be, you might consider that the best picture. So the nominees in this were Milkana Brace of Jargon, Lean Kawas of Athira Pharma, Forrest Key of Pixvana, Scott Moore of Ad Lightning, and Ambika Singh of Armoire, the women's clothing rental service. And the winner was Lean Kawas of Athira Pharma. And they are essentially creating new treatments for Alzheimer's disease. So extremely noble mission there, and they're making great progress. And Lean has a great backstory for how she ended up starting the company. So that was the GeekWire Awards. It was an eventful night. I got to say, my mood turned as soon as I broke that award. I had a hard time getting back into it. But,
oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I know. I had staffers come up to me and say, what's wrong with Todd?
Oh, no.
Really?
Yeah. It was very apparent that like something, you put it all out on the field for the award ceremony and you had nothing left in the tank.
No.
Well, because, like, what happened?
Well,
you snapped and ran out of there.
No, actually, that's not true. So when it ended, I did tell you I was going home, but I went down and helped Taylor put together the post. Taylor to end up being there alone. Mm-hmm. Taylor Soper, our managing editor, over the years has always been the person who puts together the wrap-up post. And I went down and pulled a couple quotes for him.
That was good.
You're a good boss.
And he was,
you're a good boss.
He was working at the bar. Still at the after party, so good for Taylor.
I have to say that I felt that this one was the award show that where the two of you were the most relaxed.
Oh, my
up
God.
Until the moment that you broke the award, but I felt that you like. Do you remember in past years, like before the lights come up and the three of us are maybe already standing there and we're waiting for people to come in? Sometimes things can be a little tense up there. Like
we've gotten a little better at that.
You know, or
a little better.
You know,
it's not my best. It's not my best self sometimes at these events.
And I feel that I'm sort of literally and metaphorically in the middle of the two of you.
That's funny.
And I always say, guys, there's going to come a time when we're 90 years old and we're going to reflect back on this moment and standing here on this stage and really bringing a community together, and we're going to smile.
Yeah,
and we're going to be. That's a more positive way
to look at it.
It is,
John.
Yeah. And I can tell you, I can tell you that my stressful moments behind the scenes come from the fact that I feel like we have an obligation to the community to provide them with a top notch experience to recognize them appropriately, and that's where it comes from. And I want to make sure that we're fulfilling that obligation.
Oh, absolutely. No, I dig that about the both of you. And, you're so hardworking. I'm truly so lucky to have you as business partners.
Oh, please. Anyway, and I am.
You can't take a compliment ever.
All right. I am something of a diva, too. You have to admit, right, John?
That's true.
Yeah, so.
Especially with mics.
And mics, yes.
Mics and sound.
Oh, what's
mics.
Your diva mic?
Oh, John was
diva
pee-popping
star.
All over the place last night. It really was pissing me off.
And I didn't even notice.
No one pointed it out. No one did.
He pointed it out to me, and I'm like, what's pee-popping? I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, all right. Well, anyway. Jonathan.
All right, let's end this one.
Yes, okay. Absolutely. End this one before it goes.
It's going haywire.
I feel like I do need to say, Jonathan, we're lucky to have you as a business partner, and we're grateful that you're here on this podcast. And with that, any final words? Oh, you can check it out. Check out all the coverage at geekwire.com.
And our next event is coming up right around the corner, the GeekWire Cloud Summit, which you can find out more about at geekwire.com/cloud-summit.
Great. Until next time, I'm Todd Bishop.
I'm John Cook.
Jonathan Sposato.
We'll talk to you next time on the GeekWire podcast.